This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. We're with Dale Tutt. He is the chief engineer for Textron Airlines Scorpion light attack jet surveillance, intelligence gathering, all kinds of neat little things that it does. Dale, tell us how this whole project came about.
Well, we started about 2 years ago with an initial concept that was brought forward by Airland, who Textron formed the joint venture with to form Textron Airland. Really started with initial concept and a small group of core leadership, core engineers leading the program from Cessna. And then we built a team from there. So we started with about 12 people in January of 2012, and the team has grown. At one point was over 200 people, so over the course of time we quickly designed, built, and designed the aircraft, started building it, and we're pleased to get it in the air yesterday. Yeah, we really did a lot of parallel processes. We looked to reuse a lot of components that were either reuse a lot of mature components that were off the shelf from Cessna Citation platforms, but also mature systems that were off the shelf from other suppliers. So such as our ejection seat. So we have an off the shelf ejection seat that did not require any time to develop. Greatly reducing, our risk as well as our development time and cost. So I think that really was one of the major, factors for us to be able to get it done so quickly.
Okay. A lot of what happened after the announcement was made that this thing existed is why? Who needs it? What's it for?
Well, really, it's the first really affordable tactical jet that's been designed and built in decades. It satisfies both homeland security type missions in lower threat permissive environments for both the U.S. and for our international partners. There's a lot of need. You're starting to see a lot of need for persistent loiter. For the ISR packages that are carried, there's always a need for strike capability if you're in that situation, in that environment. So really, when you think about it, if you're having an airplane that's affordable in those lower threat environments, really makes a lot of sense. Think about some of the environments that the U.S. has been fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan over the last decade, and they are flying more expensive fighters, our top of the line fighters. They're using them extensively in those mission sets, and they're very low threat environments. And so we see ourselves as a very complementary airplane that is maybe better suited to those type of environments where nobody's really shooting at you, and I think we can provide it in a much more cost-effective manner. So the airplane was really intended to be adaptable to a number of missions, easily adaptable, again, to help reduce the integration costs of new sensor packages and new equipment. I think that offers a much better life cycle cost over the long run.
Okay, so what's affordable? How much is this thing going to cost?
South of $20 million for the initial acquisition cost, believing will be less than $3,000 per flight hour.
Okay, well, $20 million is still a fair bit of money for, for anything. How does it compare with the line fighters that are there now, not including the F-35 or F-22?
Yeah, No, absolutely. But when you look at F-16s that are upwards $50-60 million, I think that when we look at some of the other aircraft that are out there being sold internationally, they're always $25-30 million or more. The jet fighters, and so it's but those fighters, they're shorter endurance mission. They're targeted more towards a higher speed mission set. So we don't believe that it's actually the same mission set. We think that we provide, and with the joint, or I'm sorry, with the hybrid ISR strike capability, we provide the dash speed that allows you to get out into an operational area quickly, but then a loiter speed that is appropriate for the types of ISR sensors that you put on the airplane, the cameras, the radars, that allow you to be in an area for an extended period of time and provide surveillance. And so we're not quite the same mission set. We still think we're I'm sorry, we're we think we're a lot more affordable than some of those other airplanes. We have endurance, so we can be in the air for a longer period of time without aerial refueling. And so on the jet end, or so on the fighter jets, we think we're lower priced than them. And then compare it to turboprops that are probably not that much less expensive than us, but we provide we provide additional capability for hot days, higher altitudes. We provide more payload capability, and certainly with the twin turbofan engines, we also have a lot of electrical power that's required for today's ISR packages.
Okay, so how long can it loiter? What's the endurance over a
Up to 5 hours, depending on how you're equipped. So it's if you have if you're with the large payload bay that we have in the airplane, the intention is that you're able to carry those sensors inside, basically inside the airplane, and so you don't have drag, a lot of extra drag associated with carrying them out in sensor pods on wings, or bolting them to the outside of the airplane. And so, if we're in that clean configuration, then we can see loiter times at upwards of 5 hours.
how fast will it go?
Go 450 knots. And actually, the range of speed is about 100 knots to 450 knots, so it gives you that high and low speed capability.
It has strike capability. What sort of armament will it carry for that?
We're targeting the smaller precision munitions, 500-pound class and below.
Are there like JDAMs and those sorts of things envisioned
Yeah.
for it?
Absolutely. We envision that it can carry JDAMs, any precision, any precision bombs, laser-guided missiles, air-to-air rockets if need be. Also, we can equip it with a gun pod. So I think that we feel like we can carry the wide range of those types of munitions, and we can carry dumb bombs if that's what someone wants to carry.
You mentioned the payload. What is the payload?
Well, the payload, it's actually the payload bay. And so we've designed the airplane around literally a 14, it's a 14-foot long box, 3 feet wide. And the whole intent there is that it makes it easy to bring a payload into the airplane, into that payload bay. So it's, it's the truck, it's the bed of your truck that you can load anything you want to. So we can, bring a palletized, bring a palletized camera. You raise it up into the payload bay. You bring your own skin with it. So if you need, if you need a special glass for a camera, or if you need to open up a window so that you can extend a sensor, those components, those skin panels that are on the bottom payload bay are not structural members. And so we've really tried to design it so that you can bring any type of sensor package that fits within that payload bay, and raise it up into the and raise it up into the payload bay. Close the airplane out. And so mechanically, it's easy to integrate. And then we're also plumbing the payload bay with electrical power and cooling power and data buses. So that, so they have some flexibility what you want to bring into it. And, if you have a radar that's, running, 5 or 10 kilowatts, it's generating a lot of heat. And so we wanted to make sure that we had some cooling air going into it as well.
Who decided that there was a need for this aircraft? Was there an expression of interest from military or security bodies?
Yeah. Well, I think, the airline team, as they had been, developing the initial concept of the airplane, and really just analyzing where the market was at, recognized that there was a large gap between Super Tucanos and some of the higher end fighters like an F-16 or F-18 or even an F-22 or F-35. Recognizing this gap and that there was an unfilled need. And you look at, like their Air National Guard is losing airplanes. They're going, they're being retired. And so really it was really a commercial market assessment of where is there an unfilled need, and design an airplane that would fit into that space, or develop a concept that would fit into that space. And so that's what we're offering, is, really trying to find where there's an open market space and offer a product that would fit into that. And there's a large gap. I mean, there's not a lot of tactical aircraft that are flying in the high subsonic space anymore, A-10s. Harriers, a lot of those other airplanes have all, either gone away or they're going away. So, we think that there's a pretty wide open space. You'll see them trying to fill that space with some of the unmanned systems, and even some of the, commercially derived aircraft where they're, putting ISR sensors on them. But those aircraft tend to operate at some of the lower subsonic speeds, and so, we really felt that there was a large space where there was no aircraft operating in that high subsonic region.
Okay, how has interest been so far?
It seems like it's skyrocketed just a bit, as you can imagine. It really has. The market interest since we announced in September has been fantastic. I think the general feedback was, we really look forward to seeing that fly, and really did feel like the eyes of the world and a lot of customers were on us. So we were having a lot of good market response, both in the U.S. and internationally. The last 24 hours, it has literally feels like it's exploded, and so we've had real good feedback from a large number of potential customers.
Okay, when might we be able to see it? Is it going to be at air shows or anything like that coming up?
Absolutely, we're actually still talking about that schedule right now, and when the appropriate time to take it out would be. Right now, it's important for us to, it's a one of a kind asset. We need to actually put some hours on it before we can start flying it around to air shows. So we're hoping sometime in the first half of next year that we would start getting it out to some of the air shows.
Appreciate your time today, Dale. We've been speaking with Dale Tutt. He's the chief engineer for Textron Airland, and the Scorpion light tactical jet is his baby. This has been Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.